Giving an Answer, the show dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith. I am your host, Harold Felder, and today the topic is voodoo. To talk with me about this topic, I have MacArthur Pierre-Louis. Let me give you a little bit of background about MacArthur. He has an undergraduate degree in math and computer science. I have a degree, my undergraduate was in computer science, so we have something in common.
Okay.
Master's of Arts in Apologetics from Southern Evangelical Seminary. Yeah, so do I. Wow.
Yeah.
You're co-pastor of Christian International Faith Center. And that's in Charlotte, right?
It is in Charlotte, yes.
And we've talked about that. Could you tell us a little bit about that church? Because there's something very interesting I find about your church.
Yes, we are a congregation that is made up of really Haitian American. We have many Haitians and their kids. We call them Haitian Americans. And in our services, we do it in two languages. We do it in English and Haitian Creole. And it's fun. You ought to come and visit us one of these
days. Yeah, actually, you invited me to come and visit, and I still plan on coming to visit, but I need to know which service to go to.
No, it's...
both of them?
They are done in both languages with simultaneous translations.
Okay. Bond.
So when we sing some Creole songs and some English songs. And then when we preach, when I preach, the other pastor translates for me. When he preach, I translate for him.
Okay. Okay.
So that way everybody's covered.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm definitely going to visit your church. I told you I was going to do that, and I'm definitely going to do that.
We can even entertaining having you speak when you come.
Oh, whoa. Okay. All right. We can do that too.
And I'll translate for you.
Okay. All right. That should be interesting.
Yeah.
I want to hear what that's. I want to hear what that sound like, you know, in Creole. That should be interesting.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I guess we should get to the topic then. MacArthur, what is voodoo?
Well, that's a great question. Which flavor do you want?
Okay.
Because you know, when you talk about voodoo, I know at least of four. There is of course Haitian voodoo. There's voodoo in Louisiana. There's voodoo in Cuba. They call it Santeria. There's voodoo in Brazil, and they call it Macumba. So voodoo, I know mostly Haitian voodoo because, you know, there is some connection. I'll tell you later on. But voodoo is a mixture of African beliefs and practices and Haitian beliefs and practices and Catholicism. So you take those three and you mix them together, and out comes voodoo.
It doesn't seem like a mixture. I mean, it seems like contradictory things that are put together. How do you have contradictory things put together to make a religion?
Well, that's an interesting. we'll cover that, but they were able to make it work.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Okay.
So you know, it's a mixture of you know, three religions put together.
Now, how did you become familiar with voodoo?
First of all, let me say that I was never a voodooist myself.
Okay.
I was born in Haiti, and there is a stereotype, you know, with Haitians. When they say Haitians, the first thing you that comes to mind is voodoo.
Okay.
I'm from Haiti, but I was never a voodooist. I was born and raised in a Christian family. My father is a minister, so I am a second generation preacher. And I was always, you know, ever I could recall, you know, a Christian. My mother led me to Christ. But, you know, being from Haiti, I saw voodoo. I saw people doing voodoo. I had friends in school who did voodoo. And that's how I first got acquainted with voodoo. But then when I went to SES, we graduated from SES,
right.
And my master's thesis was on voodoo. I did a translation of a book. The book name was God and Haitian Voodoo. It was an attempt to show that the voodoo that the Haitians serve, you know, voodoo has an element of God, and the God that theism has is pretty much in Haitian voodoo. And that was what the book was trying to do. And I translated that book. I did translate it, and I also, you know, evaluated the book and the thesis. So that's how I got to know voodoo, both from a practical, you know, aspect by seeing it done and by, you know, academically studying it and writing about it.
Okay. Okay. Great. So what's the history of voodoo then?
It's a long history. When you talk about the history of Haitian voodoo, many dates come to mind. You could talk about 1492, 1503. You could talk about 1804, 1860, and 1915. All these have some dates, great dates that have somehow affected voodoo. 1492, you know, Christopher Columbus came to the Americas.
Right.
He went to Hispaniola, which is the name that he gave to the island of Haiti. And they found the Indians there, and they subjected them to labor. But the Indians in Hispaniola could not do the work, so they had to find other hands. Therefore, 1503, the slave trade started. They started bringing blacks from Africa to replace the Indians. But the blacks that they brought from Africa, from Congo, from Dahomey, from Guinea, these blacks were resilient. So they resisted the treatment that was that they were subjected to by the colons. So what did they do? They took to the woods. They revolted. They that was their way of resisting their slavery. And some of them went to the hood, never came back. And what they did, you know, they took their practices from Africa with them while they were in hiding, while they were revolting, you know, against slavery. So, 1503, the Haitians started getting to Hispaniola. Now, 1804, the Haitians got their independence. Now, many people don't know that. Haiti has been an independent country since 1804. That's when they revolted against the French, who were there at that time, and the country became independent. As the country became independent, voodoo was sort of suppressed by the heads of states. But yet, because the people practicing were very resilient, they kept doing it, you know, underground, so to speak. Then 1860, there was an agreement between the Vatican and Haiti, whereby Catholicism became the official religion of Haiti. And what happened? The Catholic Church started, you know, suppressing voodoo, started, you know, a great campaign against the voodooists. They again had to go in hiding, but they still practice their religion. But again, it grew alongside Catholicism, whereby some of the people that went to the Catholic Church, as they went to church, but yet they were voodooists, you know, underground.
Right.
So they grow and they are evolving in both religions. 1915, the Americans invaded Haiti, and Haiti was under the protectorate of America for that while, and that's how, you know, evangelicalism got to get in the country. But yet, even though there was an influx of, you know, of Christianity, so to speak, in Haiti, but yet voodoo kept going and going. And now today, in 2006, voodoo is pretty much a bona fide religion in Haiti, because it was officialized in 2003 by the then president Aristide. So voodoo has had a long track, and it's still going strong.
So it seems like it's actually, yes, becoming stronger. So what's the appeal of voodoo?
That's a good question. What's the appeal of voodoo? I think it's, and I get to that later in the show, but I think it's, the appeal is that it has been passed down from generation to generation, and then there are some features in voodoo that I can discuss later that makes it, you know, appealing to the people that are living in the island.
Okay, which is interesting because, you know, with Christianity and Voodooism growing together, the point that you're seeing, what I gather from you is that Christianity is losing out to Voodoo, you know. Is that a fair statement?
No, I wouldn't say that. Wouldn't say that. I think because of the repression that was that the Voodooist was subjected to by the Catholic Church, I think that sort of brought out the resilience in the Voodooist. You know, remember, these are people that have been independent since 1804, and that have a spirit of rebellion. When you are forcing something down their throat, they are going to rebel against it. I think that's one of the factors that cause it to grow. But Christianity is not losing out over there.
Okay. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm glad I was wrong. Okay. What are the core beliefs of Voodoo?
One of the fundamental beliefs of the Voodooist is that there is something called loa, or spirit. The spirit is controlling their lives, pretty much, so to speak. The spirit, or the loa, is a fearsome thing because they impose their will on the Voodooist. The Voodooist has to be very nice to the loa. He has to feed the loa. He has to follow their directions. And these loa that we have replaced, or there is sort of a correlation between the loa and the saints of the Catholic Church.
The saints. Wow.
Pretty much, you know, and something that is akin to Greek mythology, where, you know, some areas of nature are controlled by God.
Right.
That concept is also in Voodoo, whereby there is one loa that may control water. It is the loa of water, the lord of water. There may be a loa that controls the harvest. There may be a loa that controls, you know, the cemetery. And when you go to the cemetery, you have when you go do something in the cemetery, you have to have the permission of the loa to do it. So this is sort of close to Greek mythology, but I don't think it is a god. It is a spirit that is in the religion, because the Voodooist, they know that there's a god, there's a supreme being that is there, but yet that supreme being is not involved in their daily affairs. The loa is the one that is in their day-to-day business. That's so. The loa is one of the fundamental things that is in Voodoo. Something else that is in there, they do offer sacrifices. They offer animal sacrifices or food offerings to the loa, because you have to please the loa. In order to please the loa, you have to have some, you know, something for him, and that can be, you know, sacrifices or food offerings. And they have other actors also in Voodooism.
These loa, they have like certain domains?
Yes.
So you can go then through the day and have to deal with a number of loa. Is that true?
It is possible. The true Voodooist, yes, does deal with them on a daily basis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. And another aspect of Voodoo, another belief of Voodoo, is that the people that are dead continue to be involved in the living lives. Your mother is dead. Your mother can come back and talk to you in a dream, give you a message from somebody. Your mother can protect you from harms and danger. So the dead is also, you know, a very, very great component of Voodooism. Another thing in Voodoo is the tree. The tree is also a great component, because the tree is where sometimes the loa rest. So the trees can be resting place to the loa. So if you don't do right and you go down and cut a tree, you may be in big trouble with the loa, because the loa can punish you severely for cutting down a tree.
What do you mean by punish? What type of punishment?
You can get sick. You can get crazy. And when you get crazy, when you get some mental problem, it is attributed to the loa punishing you. Mm. The loa, when you can get possessed by the loa, and do so some sort of despicable things because the law is possessing you and, you know, is punishing you. So there are a number of punishments that the law can inflict upon somebody, and they may even kill somebody. So if you don't be careful, the law can get you in their grips.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So these are some aspects of voodooism that is worth looking into.
So what are some of the practices of the group?
As a religion, they have to have their, you know, services, and one of the things that they do in voodooism is they have a ceremony, a voodoo ceremony, and they call it manger loi, which means feeding the loi. Again, you know, that's it. That's the aspect of, you know, controlling the loi, or, you know, pleasing the loi. So the ceremony that they have is where they come together, you know, they dance, they beat their drums, you know, that's when they offer the sacrifices or the food offerings. And in those ceremonies, that's when you would find what is called the possession, where the loi comes down and possesses somebody, and the loi now talks through you. So what you are saying at the time of possession is the message that the loi is conveying to the devotees or the followers.
What type of messages? I'm just curious. I mean, what type of messages would he give?
He may say, "Okay, you need to go and offer more sacrifices." He may say, "This type of business that you're doing is wrong. You should quit it." It may say that you need to move. You may say that you are going to get sick because you have not done what you were supposed to do. So there's a number of messages.
So if there's a group of people, the loi were in a one, and it would start going around and telling different people different things.
Correct. That's
okay.
That happens during the voodoo ceremonies or the manger loi ceremonies.
Okay.
There's also the practices that they have. You know, there's what is called a healing ceremony, where somebody's sick. They go to the hunga. A hunga is what is called a voodoo priest. He's a counterpart of the pastor or the priest in Catholicism. So the hunga would conduct you know, the healing ceremony. It may be involved, you know, giving you some baths, you know, with some leaves. It may be involved, you know, offering another animal to the loi. It may involve, you know, giving you some sort of beverage to get you better, and it may be involved going to and leave with the hunga for a while so that you can recover. But the healing ceremony is also an integral part of voodooism, and of course, you know, there is what is called the curses, where somebody can cast an evil spirit on you because they don't like you. And therefore, they send a spirit to go and harm you and cause you great harm. There is also what is called the rite of passage.
Well, the curses thing. Have you ever witnessed any of this before?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. I was just curious.
Again, you know, I was always in the periphery. My father would never let me go and see these things.
Okay.
So I only know it by hearsay,
okay.
But not by actual practice.
So you never have seen any ceremonies?
No, I've never seen one. I've heard,
right?
Because
right.
You know where we live. You know, we had hungans or voodoo priests that live not too far from us, and we could hear them carrying on. We could hear their drums and we could hear their singing. But I was never present at a ceremony.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, and I was saying that there's what is called a rite of passage, when somebody dies. They have to send you off. They have to send you away, and there's a right of doing that.
Send you away.
Yes.
What do you mean?
Well, that's an interesting concept, because in voodooism there's something called the guo bonange, or it's again from Catholicism, it's your good angel, and this is what controls, you know, your affective capabilities. So when you die, they have to send that part of you away, and it may go to Africa. because the spirit sometimes returns to Africa. And how does the spirit return to Africa? It goes travel underneath the waters and gets to Africa. So they have to remove that from you, that spirit from you, and send it away. So there is a rite of passage that they do that at the devotee's death. Mm. And there's also what is called an initiation ceremony, where when somebody is coming into a congregation, somebody wants to be attached to Hunga, the priest, to become one of the devotees. There's an initiation ceremony where they subject you to a number of things, you know, they do a number of things with you so that you can be initiated and be part of that congregation.
Like what type of things?
Oh, they give you baths, you know, they have you go and stay somewhere secluded for a while, and they call on the Lua to talk about what they want from you and a number of things like that.
Wow. That's very interesting.
Yep.
Okay, well, all right, now this is one of the things that I like to do. I like to always compare the religions. I like to compare the main doctrines so that we could see where they differ from Christianity.
Uh-huh.
So I'm gonna go through some of these main doctrines and ask you to contrast them and compare them with Christianity. The doctrine of God, how does the view of voodoo differ than the view of Christianity of God?
Again, the voodoo believe in God. The voodooist believes in God. They believe that there's a God. And he is a god of theism, because I think this is one of the features that they borrowed from Catholicism. And I wouldn't say that it is completely from Catholicism that they borrowed it, because we know that there have been studies done in Africa where they traced monotheism in Africa, where they believe in a single God. And that's not at odds with the Bible.
Right.
Because the Bible says that, you know, we are able to arrive at the knowledge of God by looking at nature.
Right.
So this is not, yeah, you know, at odds.
Natural revelation.
Exactly. So when the voodooist, whether it's from Africa or whether it's from Catholicism, they believe that there is a supreme God that is there. But he's a good-natured father. You know, he's not involved in the daily affairs of men.
Okay.
Because he has the law to take care of that. So the voodooist will not appeal to God as much as a Christian would. The voodooist would just basically, the Hunga, the priest, at the start of his ceremony, he would say, you know, in the name of the Father, I'm appealing to God to be part of this ceremony. But that's pretty much all they do.
There's no relationship type thing.
There's no relationship at all. And it's pretty much, you know, like the King of England, that is not involved in the daily affairs. You know, it's this lofty and removed person that is there, and that person will intervene when the system is in jeopardy. When there's problem, God will ultimately intervene to save the state, so to speak. But he's not involved in the day-to-day operation. They even have sayings in Haitian and Creole that say that God, he knows how to give, but he doesn't know how to divide among the people. So God, the God that is in voodoo is a God that is pretty much, you know, very, very transcendent. And there's no personal relationship at all with that God. They will name it. They will say that God is good, but that's the extent that they will go.
So can you pray to him, or do you have to go through the Luau?
No, you don't pray to God. You don't pray to God. You just, everything you do is to the Luau. And again, let me point out, you know, the connection with Catholicism here. You know, in Haiti, the Catholics, you know, they don't go to God. They go to either Mary, or they go to the saints.
So you got a point there too.
They ask the saints for something, but they don't go to God.
Right.
So I think this is a decaying aspect that we see, you know, that is coming from Catholicism and then transpiring into voodoo.
Okay. What about the nature of man? What do they believe about the nature of man? Is man sinful? Is he good? What's the deal with that?
They believe that man is evil.
Okay.
They believe that, you know, you have to watch out, because this man is after you to get you. He's going to get, if he can get you, he'll get you, because he's bad. So you have to watch out. So therefore, you got to get your talismans ready. You got to get your your talisman, his name, the name in Creole is point. You got to get your point. When you get your point, then people cannot harm you.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
A talisman is something that you wear to protect you.
Okay.
So you go to the Hunga, the priest, and he gives you something that you wear. It could be a piece of rock, it could be a piece of skin, whatever it is, and you wear that. It could be just a red handkerchief, whatever it is. So you wear that. It could be a little necklace or whatever it is, and you wear that, and that protects you from people doing evil against you. If you're good at something, there's always the perception that, you know, somebody's gonna get you for that.
So being good at something?
Yes. So you better watch out.
If you can't win.
You can't win, no. You can't. Because man is evil and you gotta defend yourself. It's a jungle out there. Therefore, you know, the strongest person will win.
Wow. What about Jesus? What do they think about Jesus?
Jesus is not or seldom spoken of in Voodooism. There's not the concept of the Son of God, Jesus the Son of God. This is, again, Catholicism does not emphasize Jesus that much.
Right, right.
I mean, Mary, you know, takes in many places takes precedence over Jesus.
Right.
So therefore, what do we see? We see, you know, they don't know about Jesus that much. At best, I could say he's probably a high level Loa, at best.
Higher level Loa, huh?
Yeah. At best, I'm just pushing to an extreme.
So he's not deity. He's not God.
They don't. The concept of Jesus is not found there, at all.
Wow. Okay. What do they think about the Bible? About the picture of Jesus in the Bible? Are they familiar with it?
They will. That's a good question. No, they will not have a picture of Jesus. They will have a picture of probably Saint James. Or St. Joseph.
How do you get a picture of Joseph and James and not have one of Jesus?
Well, again, that goes back to that. No, this is what is called syncretism, right?
Syncretism, where
they mixed, right. You know, Catholicism and Voodooism. So right. they will, because when you go to the Catholic Church, you know, they have many pictures of the saints there.
Right.
So, and some of these saints will end up in the temple, the Voodoo temple.
Right. That is a good point. So then, if we have this view of Jesus that is unscriptural, then what about salvation? How do we obtain salvation under the Voodoo system?
There's no such a concept of salvation. It's living now. It's living for the now. Once you're dead, you can become a spirit, but that's it. But as far as salvation, they are oblivious. They don't know what it is. They don't know what it is.
So say that again. When they die, when someone dies, they could become just a spirit. I mean, there's no resurrection of the body. There's no eternal life. No, there's no heaven.
No.
No hell.
Not at all. Not at all. That's not spoken of at all in Voodooism. It's just living for today. Do what you can today, and you know. If you can be successful, then they're great. If you can get somebody off your way, you can get rid of somebody. Then there's no immediate consequences.
Yeah.
The law may choose to punish you, but then again, that's it. I mean, you may come back when your spirit may be guiding somebody, but then again, that's it. There's no concept of a punishment, of a hell, of a retribution for somebody's sin. It's a foreign concept.
So if you get away with it here, you've gotten away with it.
Pretty much.
This is your heaven and this is your hell.
Pretty much, that's it. They are very concerned about the here, but not the after. It's here, what they can get now. Now. It's what's important.
Wow. Okay, well, how do they support their beliefs?
How do they support it?
Like Christians, we can go to the Bible and say, okay, this is what the Bible says. What foundation does the belief of Voodoo stand on?
Okay. One of the foundations that they stand on is what has been transmitted down from generation to generation. Now, the Voodooists, they have a very, very, very good sense of respect for their parents. Okay, so what a father has passed down to the child is very important. And what the father teaches the child is going to stay with the child for a long time.
Right.
That's one way. The second way that I think this is carried on, they prove their beliefs is the fear that is created in the minds of the Voodooist. Because when somebody gets sick, it's not natural. It's something supernatural. It's the Lua that is getting to you. Somebody dies. It's the Lua that killed you. Or somebody else that sent something against you, cursed you to the point where you died. So when you're sick and you go to the Hunga and the Hunga is able to do something and you get well, the Hunga gets a credit and Voodoo gets a credit. And they're gonna point to this and say, here what happens. One other thing is, when somebody is possessed by a Loa, for example, they do some human prowess where they can walk over, over nails, and they don't get wounded. They can dip their hands into boiling oil, and they don't get burnt. People try to restrain them. You can't restrain them. When they are possessed. So they point to that as saying, here, when I'm possessed, I'm a different person. The Lua possesses me now. The Lua can speak through me. The Lua, I get the Lua strength. So that's one of the ways that they prove their beliefs by pointing to what they do in their religion.
Wow. What's the relationship between witchcraft and voodoo?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. I think there's a very close relationship between witchcraft and voodoo, because witchcraft is about doing evil to somebody else, trying to do something to control somebody else to your advantage, and there's a great deal of that in voodoo. Now, having said that, in voodoo there are three elements. Or three in the hierarchy, three elements. There's a Hunga, who's a voodoo priest. There is also a guy named a Boko. He's also a priest. And there's also the third person, who's a sorcerer. The according to their beliefs, the Hunga is a guy that deals specifically with the forces of good. So the Hunga will do what is good. He will heal people. He will hold those ceremonies and have people possessed by the law. But he's not there to do evil. Okay. The Boko, on the other hand, he's a guy that deal with both good and evil. He can send a curse, and he can heal somebody of a curse. So he deals in both ends of the spectrum. Now the sorcerer is completely evil. He's a guy that is out there to get rich off you. He's out there to send bad spirit against you. He's out there to basically do evil. So these three elements is important in understanding their idea of witchcraft.
How are they looked upon by the community within the voodoo community? These three separate people. I mean, are they respected? Are they just feared? Are they feared and respected?
The Hunga is respected, and he is as a father for the devotees. The Boko has a lesser degree of respect, but yet still feared. The Hunga is also feared, but the sorcerer is feared. I mean, he's loathed. I mean, people don't go near him. Hmm. Because of the power of evil that he has.
And what's the relationship between Satanism and voodoo?
I think there is an indirect relationship between Satanism and voodoo, because the voodooist is not aware of this dualism that exists, where God, there's antagonism between God and Satan. They're not aware of that. They know that there are some evil spirit that can do harm, but they think that it's God that allows that to happen. And when you send a curse to somebody, you know, it's basically in the system. It's built into the system. But if I go a little bit further, I would submit that in voodooism, there's a great deal of Satanism involved. Especially, let me point to the possession aspect. When somebody is possessed, the crisis, they call it the crisis of possession. When somebody is possessed, I look at it, I see all the elements of demon possession there.
Exactly.
You know, in demon possession, your strength is increased. You know, you are oblivious to pain, and you can speak on behalf of others, as we can see in the Bible. When somebody is possessed, they speak. When that girl was possessed, now when the man was possessed, they ask him, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Legion."
Right.
So to me, indirectly, you know, there is a connection, but the voodooist may not be aware of the connection, but it's there.
Right. I think it's very clear. I mean, everything that you described to me is clearly something set up by Satan. I mean, don't worry about the afterlife. Here's the only thing that you need to worry about, the here and now.
That's correct.
You know, God, don't worry about God. He's some guy who doesn't even care about you. He's impersonal. Jesus, well, he didn't die for your sins. You know, he was just a man. You know, every lie that Satan would have us to believe is inherent in this religion.
That's correct. That's correct. And there has been, by the way, the book that I translated and that I evaluated, the author is a guy named Lynek Ubon. He was a Catholic priest. Now he's since then he's not a priest anymore. Now he's in sociology. But he uses many points, many approaches to show that the system, the voodooistic system, is a system that works. And he uses an anthropology, he uses philosophy, and to some degree he uses Christianity to show that, you know, the God of the system, the voodooistic system, works. It works, and he brings another aspect of psychology involved in there. He's saying, well, it's just a psychology. But I think the problem is, you know, Satan is at work there. Satan is real in the system.
Yeah.
Although the voodooist may not be aware of that, and that's to Satan's advantage, because that's the more you're not aware of it, the greater is the deception that is involved.
And the whole thing about people just living in fear, I mean, that's Satan. I mean, that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us,
exactly,
you know, to live in power, you know, to live, you know, knowing that we're loved, we've been redeemed. Whereas in Satanism or in voodoo, it's just, you know, just this fear that you're going to always offend a luau who may harm you, and your whole life is just based around fear.
Exactly. That you are correct. That's a right analysis of it.
So how, then, as Christians, do we reach them for Christ?
That's a great question. I think there are many ways to reach them for Christ, but the basis, we have to reach them on the basis of love. When the truth is spoken in love, it is better received, although it still hurts, but whoever you are speaking that truth to is able to better understand and is readier to receive the truth that you are giving them. Another way to reach them is to point to that fear aspect.
Yeah.
That they have in the religion, because nobody knows how to react. The loi is very capricious. You know, one day he may be good toward you, another day he may not be so good toward you.
Yeah.
Okay. And And this unpredictability of the Lua also could be pointed to the voodooists, saying, hey, that's not how God would have you live.
Right.
But another thing you could tell them is that you believe in God, and you believe that God is over the Lua. So why must you go to the Lua? Why don't go to God directly and cut the middleman out of this deal here?
Right.
Because after all, they are harming you, but God says he wants to do you good.
Right.
So therefore, you would be best go directly to God and remove that element completely, that enslaving element that is there in the system. I think if you do that, I think you can reach them. But first of all, it must be done in love.
Okay. Well, Mark Arthur, Pierre Luis, thank you for coming on the show, talking about voodoo. It's been a great, enlightening, and educational experience, I know for myself. That will end this episode of Giving an Answer. Be sure to join me again next time. And until then, goodbye and God bless.
I love you.